Back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. It is Thursday, the 8th of February, 2007. It's 8 o'clock in the morning, Central Standard Time. We want to greet a new affiliate, WMQM AM 1600, which is a 50,000-watt station in Memphis, Tennessee. We thank you for being on board with Mark Dankos, America, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Also wanted to mention something that we talked a little bit about in the first hour, and that is that the broadcast interview source of Washington, D.C., in their news release on Mark Dankos America and the Republic Broadcasting Network, that release has subsequently wound its way to a number of interesting places, including Al Bawaba, the Middle East Gateway in Amman, Jordan, where that post originally from the broadcast interview source is now sitting. With all kinds of links to this network and to some of the previous guests that we've had that will be disseminated throughout the Middle East. So in terms of our shortwave broadcasting, I suspect that that kind of news coverage will only increase the awareness of people around the world about this network and about our commitment to the America First position. The news release made it very clear, by the way, that in regard to the American right, that the populist, anti-globalist, anti-Zionist, anti-New World Order right wing is what is largely represented by the Republic Broadcasting Network and American Free Press, and that group of folks are rearing their head with a vengeance when it comes to what has happened to this country economically and politically in the wake of globalization, the threat that globalization poses and that the New World Order poses to our constitutional freedoms and liberties. And now we're talking about a situation where American military forces have been committed to a conflict in the Middle East that has certain, in my judgment, certain influences behind it that largely explain why this has happened. And as we look at the continued quagmire of Iraq, we're again getting back to the reports in recent days in the establishment press. Today's Washington Post front page story about seven GOP senators that have been talking out of both sides of their mouths on this war in regard to why we got into it and whether or not we ought to continue to be involved, whether or not we ought to continue funding it. We're seeing the same kind of thing on the other side of the aisle, aren't we, as far as the Democratic Party is concerned. Look at Nancy Pelosi and Steny Hoyer in the House. Look at General Wes Clark. Look at John Edwards and Hillary Clinton, as we have been reading her text this morning of her remarks made to the American-Israeli Political Action Committee. And it's quite apparent, isn't it, that a picture is emerging. Folks, you don't even have to look at the very fine alternative non-corporate news media sources to figure out what's going on. All you have to do is to cut and paste from the establishment press over a period of time. And even though they're trying to spin things in a certain way, even though they're coming back to the well once again with the same tired bromides in regard to Israel and Zionism and peace and democracy and so forth, more folks are figuring out what's going on. And this is, I would assume, a warning to the major parties and to the major spokesmen of the Republican and Democrat parties that the American people are increasingly fed up with this stuff and that there has to be an alternative to what's happening. Because as you look at it, $50 billion, according to Paul Wolfowitz, in regard to the original estimate of the economic cost of this war, has suddenly turned into somewhere between $400 billion and $500 billion, depending on whose estimates we're talking about. And at the same time, it is the establishment neoconservative Wall Street Journal that reminds us, as of a day or two ago on the front page, that Mr. Bush is talking about another $100 billion this year and another $145 billion next year for this conflict. That's even aside from whether or not we go to war with Iran. We'll be back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits. No increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Learn about the new discoveries of MSP Research. Find out about the success MDs, dentists, veterinarians, and others are having with Silver 500. Learn secrets to survival, how to detox the liver, gallbladder, and kidneys, and how over 1,100 doctors are treating Lyme disease, hepatitis C, diabetes, respiratory infections, and many more with success thanks to the help of MSP Research and Silver 500. Microbiologists have tested our mild silver protein and found Silver 500 to be the most effective treatment for B. subtilis, a subgroup of anthrax. Choose the products in your medical supply wisely. Our doctor's manual has grown to over 600 pages. Give us a call at 1-334-493-0420. That's 1-334-493-0420 and see why doctors in five countries use a dozen products that are manufactured by Dr. Bill McFarland. One more time, that's 1-334-493-0420 or visit our website at www.mildsilverprotein.com/home.html.
Obviously, something serious is going on, politically, economically, geologically, and environmentally. And how you prepare for those changes will determine your well-being in the very near future. Now, whether you're preparing for your family, your business, or your country, the Survival Center has the knowledge and experience to assist you in those decisions. Survival Center is America's premier supplier of family preparedness, health, and survival supplies with over 33 years of continuous operation. Now, you can start preparing with just knowledge, and that's why the Survival Center is offering a book. It's called Basic Preparedness, and it's just $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And it'll teach you about the four basics of survival: food, water, medical, and shelter. And when you order that book, you'll also get a free Survival Center catalog. Contact us today so we can help you prepare for whatever comes your way. Call us toll-free at 1-800-321-2900 or online at www.survivalcenter.com.
Back. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. It is Thursday, the 8th of February. It is 8:08 a.m. Central Standard Time. And we want to greet again WMQM AM 1600 in Memphis, Tennessee. That's a 50,000-watt station. Want to welcome them to Mark Dankoff's America and to the Republic Broadcasting Network. We trust that that'll be a very good and fine relationship in the days and months and maybe years that are ahead. I wonder about years because some people, some very responsible people, seem to think that we could be in the middle of the beginning of the end of history with the way things look. But suffice it to say, getting back again to what we've been talking about in the first hour of the show, if you start looking at corporate media, and I've mentioned before at Mark Dankoff's America that I do read the corporate news media. Yes, much of the information is false, but it's important to know what they're saying. It's important to see what their spin is and to learn what their tactics are, and then to compare what they're saying with sources that we do trust in the alternative media. You think of the American Free Press, you think of Republic Broadcasting Network, you think of Breaking All the Rules News, and a number of other folks out there on both the libertarian and paleoconservative right wing that have been warning us for years about what's been transpiring in our land. It's an important process to see those two points of view and to compare and contrast them. But certainly when you look at the Financial Times of London and the Wall Street Journal and the Washington Post and the New York Times and CNN and AP and Reuters, as I do try to do every single day, and look at what is being talked about there and compare that with what is going on in our trusted, responsible alternative media, you begin to see exactly what the pieces are on the chessboard. And here we have today, of course, in the wake of USA Today's story indicating that we have had a four-month period of time where we have lost more Americans to this Iraq conflict than in any other comparable period of time since the war started. We have a situation where Blackwater USA, the private contractor that we've been talking about and some of the other alternative sources have been talking about that's been operating in Iraq, they have now tragically lost four people in the last couple of days over there, that is now precipitating a desire on the part of a so-called committee up on Capitol Hill in the House side of the aisle to begin looking at these private contractors. Who are they? What are they doing over there? What is the mission? What is the relationship between these private contractors and the federal government? How much money is involved? What is the relationship between these private contractors and the American national security establishment and defense communities? Those are questions that should have been asked a long time ago, just as those questions should have been asked in regard to whether or not we had the justification to go to war 4 years ago, and whether or not the United States Congress was going to step up to the plate and congressionally declare war on that country as the Constitution requires. Now, 4 years later, we have all of this second-guessing, all of this finger-pointing, all of this posturing among people in both of the major political parties in regard to what we do from here and who's been at fault and what the stakes are from here on out. Quite clearly, our establishment people don't know what to do. We are losing this war. We are going down the tube economically as a result of this war. There is incredible loss of life that has transpired on both sides of this equation. That loss of life will continue. And the same people who have brought us the war with Iraq are the same people now who want us to attack Iran. Again, let's put the pieces of the puzzle together in regard to what we know. We've talked about these stories today in the front page of the Washington Post. We've talked about what CNN and AP are reporting today. And then let's go back in time a little bit. We've taken a look at the Republican Jewish Coalition's attack on General Wes Clark for suggesting that New York money people with Jewish connections up in New York are largely behind this decision that appears to be impending to go to war with Iran. General Clark subsequently retracted or modified those statements, did his obeisance to the Anti-Defamation League and to the Jewish Telegraphic Agency, which issued that original report. Then we've taken a look at totallyjewish.com this morning, going back in time to discuss a story we've already looked at a little bit on this show, and that is the recent statements of Senator John Edwards, which towed is the Israeli line in the Middle East all the way down to the last jot and tittle in Senator Edwards' recent remarks to an audience in the Jewish state. Now, of course, AlJazeera.info, Dr. Hassan El-Najjar's publication, which comes out of Dalton, Georgia, is reprinting the complete text of Senator Hillary Clinton's remarks to the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee. You can begin to see, can't you, when you analyze these things with Clark, with Edwards, with Hillary Clinton, and with Nancy Pelosi and Steny Hoyer, that a pattern is emerging. Folks, the Jewish lobby has an absolute lock on the political process in this country. Up to this point, they have been above criticism. Up to this point, any responsible source who has criticized their disproportionate influence in American politics, their disproportionate influence in American foreign policy, has been assailed as a bigot and a racist and an anti-Semite. And isn't it curious to look at Hillary Clinton's transcript this morning, her remarks to the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee, keeping in mind that these guys are in the middle of an espionage scandal that the establishment press is trying to bury, but that espionage scandal has involved the direct role of several of the most significant people at IPAC in stealing American secrets related to what? Related to Iran. That is conveniently a story that is going down into the subterranean realms, even as I speak, because if that particular story were to continue to be emphasized day after day after day by mainstream press outlets, the American public that relies upon those pathetic outlets for news might begin to connect some dots. Again, going back to the connections of provable connections of certain Jewish neoconservatives to the Bush administration, looking at the role of IPAC and the American Jewish Congress, Hadassah, and the Anti-Defamation League, and the role these groups play in controlling the American political debate, both on Capitol Hill as well as in the American media, all of this begins to suggest, doesn't it, the much wider context in which we are to see what is about to happen, what I think is about to happen in regard to the United States attacking Iran, largely on behalf of Jewish neoconservatives. And when you look at the Hillary Clinton transcript that has been published today, her actual remarks to the American Israel Public Affairs Committee, as AlJazeera.info relates them, you see time after time that the lies of these mainstream politicians, Republican and Democrat, on this issue of Israel and Zionism continue to be repristinated. Hillary Clinton, number one, is thanking IPAC. Thanking IPAC for what? For controlling the American political process so that less than 2% of the American population has the support that the Jewish community does has in this country for the political process. She's thanking IPAC despite the fact that they are directly embroiled in an espionage scandal against the United States government. Then there's lie number three, the notion that the issues that matter to the Jewish community and to Israel are also the issues that are important to a much larger community of Americans, quoting again Hillary Clinton. Folks, I don't know about you, but when we start talking about what has happened in the Middle East, I certainly don't take the position that American young men and women ought to be dying on behalf of the state of Israel. If we have a situation where the true national interest of the people of the United States, properly understood, is at risk, then by all means, I would support a war once that war was constitutionally declared according to a mandate from Congress, keeping Article 1, Section 8 in mind of the U.S. Constitution. I would be compelled to support that politically, morally, and otherwise. I don't think that what we're talking about here, however, in terms of a continuation of British colonial policy in Mesopotamia and Palestine, is in the interest of the American people. It is, however, in the perceived interests of the state of Israel and their Zionist supporters worldwide, including the Jewish lobby in this country. They are clearly of a mindset that the American military force structure should be used as a surrogate instrument in the implementation of Israeli policy in that region. If you buy that, God bless you, but I don't. And I think when you look at the loss of life that has occurred in this Iraq war, and the fact that just like our British predecessors in the Middle East, U.S. Involvement in Palestine and in Mesopotamia, U.S. involvement in intervening against Persia in regard to a military conflict is absolutely going to be doomed to failure. So, again, Hillary Clinton is talking about thanking IPAC, despite the fact that they represent the interests of less than 2% of the total population of this country. She's talking about supporting IPAC, even though they have been directly embroiled in an espionage scandal, stealing secrets of the American government in regard to what our policy is or shall be in, with respect to Iran. Then she mentions this other canard that the issues that matter to the Jewish community and to Israel are necessarily the issues that are important to the much larger community of Americans. I suggest that that's complete bunk. And if the American public ever figured out what was going on, quite clearly it would be something that the vast majority of people in this country would not support. If they had a legitimate news media and a legitimate government, and if there was legitimate discourse on this issue, the Jewish lobby would lose, folks. That's the way it looks to me. And I'm going to suggest that in regard to what's presently happening in the Middle East, that if a much larger percentage of the American populace connects these dots, these guys are in trouble. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll be back. You can call me at 1-800-313-9443. Stay tuned.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately one in four families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Would you enjoy a career where you pick your hours, work for who you want to, when you want to, as much as you want to? No one knows about this hidden career because there is no book, school, or teaching material available. Until now. Learn the trade of window painting. Window Genie is now offering a 3-day workshop on DVD that shows you how to reproduce art, text, and graphics professionally, even if you can't draw a stick man. Secrets, cheater techniques, shortcuts, tips, and tricks are all revealed. Recoup your investment in as little as one job and have a career for life. This training also gives you the skills to do regular sign work, indoor murals, and signage. Begin your new career today. Just call us at 780-457-7109 or visit us at windowgenie.com. Again, that's Window Genie, spelled JEANNIE.com.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'd like to greet WMQM AM 1600 in Memphis, Tennessee. They are now utilizing Mark Dankos, America, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. WMQM AM 1600 in Memphis is a 50,000-watt station. That in conjunction with the broadcast interview source of Washington, D.C. news release on this show and on this network a few days ago, which has now wound its way to Canada and also to Al Bawaba, the Middle Eastern gateway, and Amman, Jordan, suggests that we're going to have a much wider audience in the days ahead, and that's certainly something to be very, very encouraged about. I've been talking about some of the larger issues related to what seems to be happening as we look at corporate media this morning and then compare it with what's in the non-corporate, non-establishment, non-controlled press. The story of these Blackwater USA deaths in Iraq, according to CNN and AP today, is now prompting the House to look into this whole business of private subcontractors being involved in this Iraq situation. What's the uptake on this, folks? We'll have to watch it in the days ahead. But suffice it to say that these are questions that should have been answered a long time ago by the House in regard to the role of some of these companies over there. and whether or not the tail is wagging the dog, and what is happening with that in terms of profits and subterranean connections and so forth. USA Today is reporting that we have lost more American personnel in the last 4 months than in any other comparable four-month period of time since March of 2003. The Washington Post on page A1 today is talking about this absurd posturing on the part of these GOP senators that say that they're for a free and open debate on Iraq, notwithstanding the question that that debate should have been held before March of 2003, and that their commitment to a so-called free and fair debate on this whole question of Iraq does not involve the defunding of this process on the part of either the Republican or Democratic parties up on Capitol Hill. Then, with all of that in mind, we've been trying to get to the bottom of who and what is really behind this present interventionist policy in the part of the United States in the Middle East. I've suggested repeatedly on the show that it's simply a continuation of British imperialism in the region related to both Mesopotamia and Palestine and soon Persia, I'm afraid to say. And in that context, we then return to the remarks made by General Wesley Clark, those remarks that were made in regard to so-called Jewish New York money men being involved in promoting this war with Iran. Those were remarks that General Clark has now retracted or modified with due apologies in his mind to the Anti-Defamation League and also to the Jewish Telegraphic Agency, which originally reported this story. We've taken a look at John Edwards' repristination in Israel of the Israeli line all the way down to the last jot and tittle in regard to the Middle East. And then, of course, there's this whole question of Nancy Pelosi and Steny Hoyer in the House of Representatives, two of the big reps for the Israeli lobby up there on Capitol Hill. And then I've been reading through Senator Hillary Clinton's remarks to the American Israel Public Affairs Committee, as those remarks have appeared at aljazeera.info as of today. And again, getting back to where we were at the before the last commercial break, Clinton repeats, it seems to me, every lie that every one of these people tells in regard to this whole issue of Israel. She mentions IPAC in glowing terms, leaves out the fact that they are under federal investigation for being involved in an espionage case, stealing American defense secrets specifically related to Iran. She tells the lie that the interests of the Jewish community in Israel are of necessity, the issues that are important to the larger community of Americans. She indicates that Israel is committed to civic engagement and open debate, free expression and the rule of law, even in the face of grave dangers. She hasn't looked at the West Bank or Gaza recently. She hasn't looked at what happened at Deir Yassin in 1948 in Palestine. She obviously has omitted what was going on with Menachem Begin and the Stern Gang when they bombed the King David Hotel in 1948. The assassination of Swedish Count Bernadotte is conveniently omitted by Senator Clinton in this conversation. She talks about democracy in this speech to IPAC, keeping in mind that democracy, in my judgment, however one defines that term, is certainly not related to the control of that process by less than 2% of the American population in regard to government and corporate media. As you continue on down the page, she says that Israel's a beacon of what's right in a neighborhood overshadowed by the wrongs of radicalism, extremism, despotism, and terrorism. In other words, because Israel is our perceived ally in the region, the things that they're doing in the West Bank and Gaza don't matter. Hillary Clinton has apparently not read Gordon Thomas's book, Gideon Spies, The Secret History of the Israeli Mossad, put out by St. Martin's Press. That would give us a completely different slant on the state of Israel from the one that she's promoting. She says that Iran poses a threat not only to Israel, but to the entire Middle East and beyond, including the United States. Why is it, however, that she omits the fact that Israel, not Iran, Israel is the chief chemical and biological and nuclear power in the Middle East, and that the United States' continued backing for the entire panoply of Israeli interest is going to lead to extremism on the other side? We'll take a caller when I come back. This is Mark Dankoff's America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits. No increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Learn about the new discoveries of MSP Research. Find out about the success MDs, dentists, veterinarians, and others are having with Silver 500. Learn secrets to survival, how to detox the liver, gallbladder, and kidneys, and how over 1,100 doctors are treating Lyme disease, hepatitis C, diabetes, respiratory infections, and many more with success thanks to the help of MSP Research and Silver 500. Microbiologists have tested our mild silver protein and found Silver 500 to be the most effective treatment for B. subtilis, a subgroup of anthrax. Choose the products in your medical supply wisely. Our doctor's manual has grown to over 600 pages. Give us a call at 1-334-493-0420. That's 1-334-493-0420 and see why doctors in five countries use a dozen products that are manufactured by Dr. Bill McFarland. One more time, that's 1-334-493-0420 or visit our website at www.mildsilverprotein.com/home.html.
Many Bible prophecies written thousands of years ago have been fulfilled in the past 100 years. Unknown by most people, even Bible-reading Christians, major end-time prophecies are being fulfilled today, including the one-world government, the one-world religion, the 10-nation confederacy of Daniel and Revelation, the mark of the beast, or 666. Speculation abounds about these ancient prophecies and what they might mean today. Now, one of the most foremost scholars on geopolitics, Dr. Michael Kaufman, who has stopped the ratification of international treaties in the U.S. Senate, has just released a DVD called World Events and Prophecy. His DVD explains how these and other major prophecies are being fulfilled today. Order your copy of World Events and Prophecy. It's only $20 plus shipping and handling at discerningtoday.org or call toll-free 877-271-7639. Don't be caught off guard. Order your copy of World Events and Prophecy at discerningtoday.org.
Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Today we greet WMQM AM 1600 in Memphis, Tennessee. That's a 50,000-watt station there that has joined Mark Dankoff's America in the promotion of this broadcast for the Republic Broadcasting Network. We've been talking about a series of news stories today related to this quagmire in Iraq, comparing establishment press with the inside story from the non-establishment media in regard to what it means and why I believe very firmly that we will be at war with Iran inside of a year's time unless something transpires to change that scenario. We're reminded in Mark chapter 10, verse 27, that with God nothing is impossible. So let's trust that maybe there will be a change in course as divine sovereignty potentially could intervene in this situation. But my reading of this thing is that in all likelihood, this disastrous continuation of British policy in Palestine and in Mesopotamia and in Persia on the part of the United States is going to lead to the same cataclysm for the American Empire that it did for the British Empire in the 20th century. Then we were talking about Hillary Clinton and her remarks to the American-Israeli Political Affairs, or the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee, IPAC, and comparing those remarks with Senator Senator Edwards' conversations in Israel, General Wesley Clark's statements on New York Jewish money men up in New York promoting this idea of going to war with Iran, some of the statements of Pelosi and Steny Hoyer on the House side of the aisle, a very clear picture is emerging. One other thing from Hillary Clinton and her remarks to IPAC as Al Jazeera.info prints that transcript today, and then I'll take a caller, is that she indicates in her speech that in 1999 she raised the problem of anti-Semitism in Palestinian textbooks. Now, according to Senator Clinton, 8 years later, we continue to hear disturbing reports that these textbooks have not been changed, and I will be doing an event in Washington in the Senate next week to highlight the anti-Semitic, anti-Israeli rhetoric that is still part of the Palestinian curriculum. What is anti-Semitism, Hillary Clinton? What is the information in these Palestinian textbooks vis-a-vis what we've talked about on this show related to Israel that is routinely never discussed in the American press and in American educational textbooks? That's a debate that I would like to see more information on in coming days ahead. Some of the things that I related that are internationally confirmed as public knowledge about the events in 1947 and 1948 in Palestine are conveniently left out of conversations on the part of people who are backing not only Hillary Clinton and John Edwards and presumably General Wesley Clark, but also their counterparts in the neoconservative movement on the Republican side of the aisle as well. Jim in Texas, you're on the line for Mark Dankoff. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, good morning, Mark.
Hi.
You've done a real good job of laying out the situation as far as Iran and Middle East policy is concerned, but you've made one, I think, terrible mistake in that you keep saying, not just you, because all of the alternate media do the same thing when you talk about Israeli influence. It's not influence, it's control. Influence.
Just to interrupt you for a second, I stand corrected on that, Jim. I think you're absolutely correct. I think control is a better word, but go ahead.
Not only better, it's a necessary word, because influence implies that people listen to them and they might take what they say and they might not, you know. Influence, should I get a blue car or a green one? Yeah, I kind of lean toward the green one. That's influence. Control is when you can make any politician dance the dance that you want anytime, any place, and that's the situation we've got.
Yeah, and I think you're absolutely correct on this. I'd be the first to say that I stand corrected. That's an excellent point, Jim, and I think, you know, based upon what we've been talking about this morning, when you look at Clark's statements and Edwards' statements and Hillary Clinton's transcript today at aljazeera.info of her remarks before IPAC, I think control is exactly what characterizes this relationship. And Clinton goes so far in this transcript of her remarks to IPAC is to say that she's a strong supporter of Israel's right to build this so-called security barrier. Now, fascinatingly enough, she is a globalist, clearly, as is her husband. They favor the so-called International Court of Justice that we could talk about all day on this show. And yet it's interesting when you look at what she said to IPAC that when it comes to Israel and this so-called security barrier, that she then goes up against the International Court of Justice and says that they are wrong for questioning Israel's right to build that fence of security. So there you have it, don't you?
Absolutely. There's a thousand examples. You remember a few years ago when the only time that our UN representative didn't vote against a statement on Israel, and it wasn't even a really a binding statement from the Security Council, but he abstained. The next day he was forced to go back and demand another meeting where we could change our vote. That's not influence.
That's control.
You remember that situation?
Yes, I sure do.
Absolutely. And as far as giving them money, any money they ask for, they get, no matter what it is.
Yeah, and I think, you know, in my view, I don't think it's a stretch to say that when you start talking about the money that routinely goes to Israel year after year, you know, various figures are bandied about. I suppose that there are the official figures that are down there on paper that are traceable, But then when you start looking at all of the indirect expenditures on behalf of Israel, the actual total is probably at least twice of what is publicly advertised by the United States government. And you could make the case that if we truly are dealing with a situation here where this intervention in Iraq is correctly seen as a surrogate war on behalf of Israel, then you could even tack on the close to $500 billion that we've already spent on this war with Iraq.
Absolutely. And also, a lot of people don't know it, but any of our wealthy New York money people, which we know who they are, or anybody else in the United States who wants to contribute money to Israel, it's taken off their taxes just like it is to a charity.
Yes, and
dollar for dollar, it's taken off.
Sure, and you know,
with no set limits.
Yeah, and so there you have it. You know, you're talking about a deck that clearly is stacked. It's completely stacked against those of us on the American right and the so-called America First movement that look at this whole thing and say, "Hey, look, this is the pursuit of a policy lock, stock, and barrel that is not in the interest of the American public. It is a controlled process." And it's a situation that can and will lead to untold numbers of deaths in future months and years if this preemptive war against Iran that quite clearly is being planned actually transpires. Now, Jim, I want to read you something here and see what you think of it. There is a there's a polling service. It's an establishment polling service, and that's why I find it to be particularly interesting here. It's something called Angus Reid Global Monitor Polls and Research. It's quite well known. And the title of this post from yesterday says, American Majority Predicts War with Iran. And according to the Angus Reid Global Monitor, many adults in the United States believe their country will enter a conflict against Iran, according to a poll by Rasmussen Reports. 57% of the respondents think it is very or somewhat likely that the U.S. will be at war with Iran within the year. It then goes on to discuss some of the specifics that have led up to this situation. But the polling data out of Angus Reid Global Monitor, which again is clearly an establishment source, but it says that in the next year, how likely is it that the U.S. will be at war with Iran? 23% said very likely. 34% said somewhat likely. What do you make of that in regard to what the actual figure would be if we had a true random sample on this? And do you think there's going to be an American public backlash against this whole thing?
Probably not until after the war starts, and then probably not then, because they're going to have some sort of false flag operation to get us going where it would be almost impossible. It'd be back to like when Bush said when this war started, war on terrorism. You're either with us or you're with them. And that's the way the situation will come down.
Once we get into war with them. Yeah, that's what I see, too, because, you know, clearly right now you have a circumstance that 4 years after, it'll be 4 years this coming month since our invasion of Iraq, that 4 years later, it's clear that support for this thing is flagging with the public. They don't like the casualty figures. One does not have to be a military expert, and I'm certainly not a military expert, although I try to read things written by people who are, that this war of counterinsurgency in Iraq is clearly unwinnable, I think. You look at these economic figures, almost $500 billion in expenditures up to this point. Even the Wall Street Journal admits that Bush is going to ask for another $100 billion this year, $145 billion next year. That's even aside from whether or not we go to war with Iran. And as you look at this entire situation, the Wall Street Journal admitted, and I mentioned this yesterday in the show, that the only thing that is propping up the amount of debt that's involved in all of this for the American dollar is the willingness of foreign central banks to continue loaning us money. The minute that changes, it seems to me that you're not only going to see a burgeoning military disaster, but then the economics of this are going to come home to roost. And it's at that point that I find myself wondering if there won't be a wider American public backlash against this, particularly if more people connect the dots between now and then. What do you think?
I think you're absolutely right, but that's the only thing that's going to force the American people to do something, because up until then, up until it hits their pocketbook and their economy comes crashing down and they look around and try and find somebody to blame, well, the news media are not going to point out who to blame. they're gonna point to Bush Cheney or a couple of Republican senators, or they might even turn on Hillary Clinton. Who knows? They'll turn on anybody that they use, but they'll never point to who's actually behind it.
Well, that's exactly right, and I'm struck by the extent to which that's also true in the culture war. You know, I've had some guests on this show in recent weeks that reflect what I would call, you know, generally speaking, a traditionalist moral and cultural point of view. And I'm struck by the fact that some of these folks don't want to touch the issue of a direct Jewish connection to things like the abortion and pornography issue, pornography industries. There are other cultural critics, however, who are quite open about the fact that that type of connection exists. But it seems to me that this whole issue of certain taboo subjects being present in the American political landscape begins, whether you're talking about the culture, or you're talking about the media, or you're talking about our government, or you're talking about this unwinnable war in the Middle East, that when we get back to the whole question of Israel, I'm constantly struck by the amount of public discourse on this that never takes place because of the fear that people have of being demonized and ostracized and potentially the victims of far worse.
Well, it can't take place in the mainstream media because they own the mainstream media. They won't let it take place. Have you ever been invited to be a guest on any of the mainstream media shows? I don't think so.
Not in the last 100 years, with one exception, and that is that when I was running for the U.S. Senate in Delaware in 2000 against William Roth and Tom Carper. William Roth, of course, is the late Republican senator of Roth IRA fame, and Tom Carper, who at that time was the governor of Delaware, is now the United States senator from Delaware. But with the exception of an interview that CNN did with me that lasted for 5 minutes, with the exception of that one-time claim to fame in corporate media that lasted 5 minutes, clearly I've had no further connections with these folks.
And had you said anything pertinent in that five-minute thing, it would have been edited out to where you sounded like a blithering idiot.
Well, that's right. You're not only dealing, I think your point's well taken here, Jim, that you're not simply talking about coverage or lack of coverage, but you're dealing with a situation where if these guys have a particular reason not to like you, which they certainly would in my case, you then run into this situation where they can twist something that's been said and give it a slant that is totally unlike what was actually said. And therein lies the tale of the tape. For example, Hillary Clinton repeated in this speech to IPAC what I am convinced now on the basis of people I've consulted with is an absolute lie. When she said that Mahmoud Ahmadinejad of Iran said that Israel should be wiped off the map, certainly in American English we all have a conception of what that means. But the point is that for those who speak Persian, Farsi, which I don't, I just know a few words, that when you talk to these folks and understand the complete context of what Ahmadinejad did say, it has a completely different slant than what was indicated in corporate media, has a completely different slant and meaning from what Hillary Clinton had to say, which repeated the lie of corporate media. And then you get into her citation on this Tehran Holocaust conference. We go back again, don't we, to the American Free Press and what they said in their January 1st and 8th edition on the Iran conference. There was a special supplement on that. And Mike Piper's story, What Really Happened in Iran, is well taken when you see what Mike indicates was said over there and the spirit with which it was said and who was there. It had a completely different take from what was going on in the corporate press. So, you know, there you have it again. As long as you have an ownership on the part of a disproportionate Jewish constituency of mainstream American corporate media, you're going to constantly see not only what is not reported, but falsehoods and spins based upon something that was said or intimated that gives it a completely different meaning from what was intended, a completely different meaning from the original context. So you're absolutely right about that.
Yeah, and my understanding is what Ahmadinejad actually said was that the Zionist regime in the Middle East would go the way of the old Soviet Union. They would disappear, more or less. Not that somebody was going to wipe them off the map. They were going to nuclear bomb them until there were nothing left there. But a parking lot, he said it would go the way of the Soviet Union because they're the same type regime. Of course, the same people were running the Soviet Union at the time that are running the Middle East and the United States. So it does make sense that he would say that.
Well, and to me, that is a completely different slant, isn't it? And the slant that you give this, I believe to be absolutely the correct slant. I think it's completely fair to say that that is actually in Persian, in Farsi, what the man said. The way that that plays out on Fox News and in the New York Times and in Hillary Clinton's speech before IPAC is clearly false. It's the repeating of something that is simply not the case, but it's now been taken, as you know, as complete orthodoxy in the Western corporate media that this is what Ahmadinejad said. He said no such thing.
Right, and as long as they can twist things, they will twist things to say whatever they want you to say. And
yes,
if there's no way they can twist it, they'll do you, if possible, like they did Clark and Jimmy Carter and everybody else. You have to start groveling and sniveling and apologizing for even mentioning something that might not be able to be misconstrued in their favor.
Yes. So, Jim, I got to take a break. Why don't you stay on the line if you've got a minute? This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of choice garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN Network.
Do you suffer from frequent and severe headaches? Well, you don't have to any longer. Headache Stay Gone is an all-natural headache remedy that is free of all side effects. Headache Stay Gone will cure any headache and prevent it from returning again. Painkillers can offer temporary relief at best, along with a long list of harmful side effects. Headache Stay Gone uses all-natural ingredients and cures your headache, letting you enjoy more time with your family and loved ones. We'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone today and send you the bill. Wait until your headache is cured before you pay for it. That's right, Headache Stay Gone must work for you before you pay for it. Try Headache Stay Gone risk-free by calling 1-800-327-0727 or visit www.headachestaygone.com. Again, that's 1-800-327-0727. And don't forget to ask about your risk-free trial today. Call now. Start living life without the headaches.
Your life demands long-lasting power for everything. If you want to find the best battery selection at the best prices, then BatteryStation.com is the place for you. Find common or hard-to-find batteries for practically everything, from computer backup units and camcorders to cell phones and wheelchairs. Go to BatteryStation.com for all your battery supply needs. At BatteryStation.com, you'll also discover high-tech LED tactical flashlights for every task, from trusted names like Surefire, Tektite, Gerber, Pelican, and more. BatteryStation.com offers lights featuring super bright, super tough, long life LED technology. At BatteryStation.com, you'll find tough, crush proof, waterproof, airtight, hard cases of all sizes from Pelican, Otter, and S3 Extreme. Visit them today, BatteryStation.com. It's all one word, BatteryStation.com. Or call 417-257-7799. That's 417-257-7799. Your source for batteries and accessories at very low prices. BatteryStation.com.
We're back. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Wanted to again greet a new affiliate for us. This is WMQM AM 1600 in Memphis, Tennessee. Glad to have you folks aboard. We've been talking these last couple of hours about American foreign policy in the Middle East and the control that the Israeli lobby has of not only what is happening abroad, but what's happening domestically. Before I get back to my conversation with Jim, I also wanted to mention that you can support the Republic Broadcasting Network by contacting us online at republicbroadcasting.org or giving us a call at 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. You can also have Aaron Russo's new DVD entitled America, Freedom to Fascism for $19.95 plus $4.95 shipping and handling. And again, the contact points are republicbroadcasting.org or 1-800-724-2719. Also wanted to say we have in the next 10 minutes a series of rather frequent commercial breaks, and then there will be a longer period of time for conversation. I wanted to mention again that Shireen Nashat of Sarbazon out in Los Angeles will be on the show talking about Iran for about an hour and a half, and then Chalmers Johnson, who at one time was involved with the National Intelligence Estimate Procedures for the Central Intelligence Agency from 1968 to 1972, The author of the new book Nemesis, the Final Days of the American Republic. He also is a professor, has been a tenured professor for 30 years at the University of California, both in Berkeley and San Diego. He's going to come on and discuss his book for about a half an hour tomorrow, and that will be well worth your time as well. Jim, you still there? I guess he's off.
No, I'm back. I'm here.
You hear?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, we're likely to be interrupted in the next couple of minutes by some commercial breaks. So if that happens, bear with me. But, you know, to show you the extent to which I think you're correctly speaking about control, not influence, but control on the part of Israel when it comes to the Western news media, I wrote a letter to the back in September. I think it was September the 8th or thereabouts, to the Toronto Sun up in Canada. The reason I wrote that letter is there is a guy by the name of Michael Koren, C-O-R-E-N. I don't know too much about this guy, but he wrote an incredibly sick op-ed piece for the Toronto Sun that basically advocating using preemptive strikes with nuclear weaponry against Iran. I then wrote the Toronto Sun up in Canada and indicated the title of my piece was Israel, Not Iran, is the leading nuclear, biological, and chemical weapons power in the Middle East. And then, of course, the editor for the publication that did print this indicates that it's a letter by Mark Dankoff to the Toronto Sun submitted for publication. As I go down and read the text of what I said, we're likely to be interrupted in the next couple of minutes. But I want to read the whole text of this because I think it underscores your point about the whole issue of not influence but control on the part of Israel and Zionist forces for what's happening both in this country and abroad. Stay with me. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll be back with my letter and back with Jim and back with other callers at 1-800-313-9443. Stay tuned.